You might like to turn in your Bible to the book of Exodus, if you would. And perhaps we could look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, we open thy word, and it's your word, your presence to help us. So God help us. And we'll thank you very, very, very much. In Christ's name, amen. And if you go back to long ago, Genesis and that, you'll find the absence of the word thanksgiving. We just don't see thanksgiving. Where's the thanksgiving? Now, that doesn't mean that Noah walked with God and Abraham and that. Doesn't mean they weren't thankful, but there's just no reference to it. Now, so when we come to the Israel after 400 years in Egypt, and there have been 400 years, and so they leave Egypt. Are the Egyptians thankful? Not likely. Egyptians aren't being thankful. The Samaritans up in... Who's thankful? We're earthlings. And being earthlings, it's just earth. And to the measure we thank, it depends on situation. Conscious of God? No. Now, so when Israel, after 400 years in Egypt, they exit, God exit, takes them out and brings them to Mount Sinai, etc. And he takes care of them in the wilderness in a very wonderful way. And he's going to teach them something. Now, they didn't learn it in Egypt, that's for sure. And their father and grandfather, great-grandfather, the great-great-grandfather, they didn't know it either. They didn't know it. So they're going to have to learn something. And so in Exodus chapter 16, you recall, picking up in verse 4. Remember now, there's 2.5 million people or so, lots and lots of animals, so water and food and just general living conditions have to be provided by God. Sanitation, God provides sanitation. There has to be, that's the only way they could survive. Now, so chapter 16, verse 4. Then said the Lord unto Moses, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day for that purpose, that I may prove them, put them to the test, whether they will walk in my law or not, or no. Verse 5. And it shall come to pass that on the sixth day they shall prepare that which they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily, because God's going to take care. On the seventh day, Sabbath day, God, there's going to be no provision. Everything, it's a rest time. And you're going to, what are you doing? You do 6 days of work, and on the seventh day, you rest and understand that all that you have in the 6 days is based upon God. And every seventh day, in the Sabbath day, you would stop and rest and pay attention. Everything we have is because of God. And on the seventh day, we don't do anything. We didn't. No manna, nothing. Why? Because God, you don't eat it. God is telling you he takes care. You have to go and do things on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, but Sunday, Sabbath day in this case, you go up and stop and rest. Now, having said that, so they did that. And over in chapter 16, just a little more help. And in chapter 16, if I can, going down, and in verse 13, came to pass that at the evening the quails came up and covered the camp. And in the morning the dew lay around about the host. The camp was all covered with dew from the night. Verse 14. And when the dew that lay was gone up, when the dew that lay was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness, there lay a small round thing, as small as a hoar frost, like frost, on the ground. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, "It is manna." For they know not what it was. And Moses said unto them, "This is the bread which God, the Lord, hath given you to eat." Now, every day they'd have that in the morning. They'd get out of their tent, and there it is. There's the ground covered with it. And sit down, if I can, verse 16. "This is the thing which the Lord hath commanded, to gather up every man according to his eating, and an omer for every man according to the number of your persons. Take ye every man for them which are in his tents." And the children of Israel did so, and gathered some more and some less. And when they did meet it with an omer, using a measuring, he that gathered much had nothing over, and he that gathered little had no lack, and they that gathered every man according to his eating. So if you filled your bowl, you had no problem. You were always satisfied. You always had enough. And if you put half a bowl, you're always satisfied, and you always have enough. You always have enough with God. Hang on. You always have enough with God. They're going to learn it. And remember, then, if you don't eat your breakfast good, you're going to be in trouble. Because, 19, "And Moses said, let no man leave it till the morning, notwithstanding, hearkening not unto Moses, but some of them left it until the morning, and it bred worms and stank, and Moses was wroth with them." In other words, I'm going to put it there. It's time to eat. We used to have that, you know, when people eat, try to eat, and say it's time to eat. And they're all over the place. And time to eat. Time comes. And you aren't there to eat. It's cleanup time. And you lose out. We used to even do that. Cuts time to eat. Show up. You don't show up. It's gone. Well, you're learning. You're learning what? Show up when it's time to eat. That's what they did. Now, and therefore, they gathered, verse 21 rather, "and they gathered it every morning, every man according to his eating, and when the sun waxed hot, it melted and disappeared." What were you teaching them, God? God feeds. You follow God's, when God puts it on the table, you eat. And when you eat, either eat or you don't eat. Doesn't matter whether you have a lot or a little, you're hungry or you're not hungry, you're going to be satisfied. And then God removes it. For what? Because you start what? Every day, you're going to trust God. Every day. There'll be no, the only time you have the benefit is on the sixth day, etc., and all those different things. So God's going to go and take care of them and teach them. Teach them what? To trust God. God is enough. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, over, if I can, to Numbers. And in Numbers, in chapter 11, Remember now, they're 30 through 40 years in the wilderness. So, Numbers 11, verse 4. And the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting, and the children of Israel also wept again and said, who shall give us flesh to eat? In other words, all we have is this manna all the time, and we have these whatever. So verse 5. We remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt, because they were right near the Mediterranean Sea. That's where the land of Goshen was. So they had plenty of fish to eat. In verse 5. The fish, and we did eat in Egypt, which we did eat in Egypt. Freely. We ate slaves' food freely. And by the way, it's just, you already know these things. You know, lobster's sort of a luxury sometime. But in the beginning, up in Salem, Mass., where they had the prison up there, and when you went to jail, not jail, it was an open thing. You've been there probably, where they had the prison camp, and in there. And you know what they fed? They fed them a slave's diet. They fed them lobster. Lobster was something people didn't eat. You just feed it to the criminals. So that, just so you know, you can tell the grocery store that, so to see if they reduce the price. Now, so therefore, in cucumbers, melons, leeks, and onions, and garlic. But now our soul is dried away. There is nothing at all besides this manna before our eyes. They were looking at what God was doing, and they looked back to Egypt. They remembered what they had in Egypt. Do you notice what's missing? There's no concern what they had on that slave's diet. They were slaves in Egypt. And if you remember Exodus, when they exited, it was bitter bondage they were in. Bitter bondage. They never mentioned bitter bondage. All they care is about their stomach. There was no interest. Where did we... Now, here's how people get saved. And they forget. Us believers can get saved, and we forget that we were once lost and hell-bound and hell-bent, for real. And we forget. We forget as we look at things in life. And we forget what God has rescued us from. We forget it. It's human nature not to be thankful to God. Hang on. Now, so God, and you did, over, if I can, picking up over to Deuteronomy chapter 8. Because you have to ask yourself, it's so hard for people not going to say thank you to God. They just don't do it. Just don't do it. Deuteronomy chapter 8. And God, in all of the 40 years, Deuteronomy, before Moses dies, and God reminds the Israel by way of Deuteronomy 8, picking up, please, in verse 2. And thou shalt remember all the way these 40 years. Thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove, put you to the test, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldst keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna that thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. That's how he lives. He doesn't live by bread. He doesn't live by what you eat. It doesn't work that way. And we're stuck in it. Because, you know, without taking time there. Matthew 6, 31, all that. What does the world want to do? They're looking to what? They're looking for their stomach. They're looking for their clothing. They're looking to survive. That's what the world does. That's all that's important. Doesn't matter. Conditions. That'll help us as we're trying to do a little exercise in the future coming up here. In that, how come they just don't, in the days of Noah, you'd think people would wake up under the judgments and stuff. But they don't. They just don't do it. You'd say, that's what I read. I said, now, how can the next thing happen? If I was on earth, I'd say, wow. But they don't. They don't do it. People are consistent. Now, so therefore, God's going to test them in a most wonderful way. And he humbled them. And in verse 4, thy raiment waxed not old, upon neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. In other words, you never had a problem physically. Thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. Therefore thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God to walk in his ways and fear him. Now, so God tested him for all of those years. Now, where's the thanksgiving? 40 years for the people, taken care of, 1,000% taken care of. Where's the thanksgiving? God. Therefore, over if I can, Leviticus. God, how did you stand that kind of setting? You never said thank you. So here's Leviticus in chapter 7. And you will note think of the burnt offering and the sin offering and the peace offering. All of those are sweet savor offerings, and all of those, Leviticus 1, 2, 3, all of those point to the person of Jesus Christ. He's the perfect sacrifice. He's the perfect sin bearer to bear our sin. He is the one to make the relationship real, peace, to bring peace between the heart, between your heart and God's, to be at peace, at oneness with God. Therefore, here's the peace offering. No, hang on. Verse 11. And this is the law of the sacrifice of peace offerings, which he shall offer unto the Lord. If he offer it for a thanksgiving, then he shall offer with a sacrifice of thanksgiving unleavened cakes mingled with oil, unleavened wafers anointed with oil, the cakes mingled with oil and fine flour and tried. Verse 13, beside the cakes he shall offer for his offering leavened bread with a sacrifice of thanksgiving of his peace offering. And sliding down to verse 15, and the flesh of the sacrifice of his peace offerings for thanksgiving shall be eaten with the same day that it is offered. He shall not leave any of it until the morning. How did they say? God said, I'm going to help you what you're missing. I'm going to make it up for you. I want you to go and give that peace offering. Peace offering, our Lord Jesus Christ is our peace. You can turn there. Hold your finger here to keep you busy. Hold your finger here and go over to Colossians 1, all kinds of places. And in Colossians chapter 1, picking up, please, in verse 20. Colossians 1, 20. Our Lord. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things on earth or things in heaven. He did it. God is going to say thank you for you. God's giving it to you. You aren't saying thank you. God said, I'll say thank you. How are you going to say that when you offer that peace offering? Understand that. That is the way of God's the way. That's why I'm bearing everything long before being angry. Because I'm getting thanks back. I'm getting thanks back. Every time you do that peace offering, it says thank you. Christ died on the cross, Leviticus 3 in that, the peace offering. Christ is our thank offering for us when we get saved. God looks at the Lord Jesus Christ and we get a thank you. God gets a thank you, I should say, from us. We don't appreciate being saved. God does. God does the saving. God does the thanking for us. Because we have to change and get there to see it. Therefore, in the light of that, back over Leviticus 7, the thank offering, the peace offering, it's a wonderful, wonderful thing. And God does that for us. So what they didn't do, what they never said, you never read, thank you, thank you, thank you. Where's the thank you? None there. But the peace offering makes up the difference. Do it another way. The sacrifices in the Old Testament that they did every day, morning and evening, all they did, all of that, the people weren't with it, looking to God, thanking God, looking to God, they weren't. They were in, God was moving them in a wonderful way. But God was covering the bases. They were not appreciating what God was going to do on Calvary's cross. But every day, offerings were made, sacrifices were made. The peace offering went on top of the burnt offering, as it were. The same altar. To what? God is covering his bases. How can you bear this people? Every day they sacrifice. And that's why they're saved, because I am going to die on the cross, and those sacrifices that are public on the altar are reminding them and me, said God, that I am going to go and save them to the uttermost. I'm going to save the nation. And so the people weren't there. God was covering his bases. Now, not everyone, sometime, got with it. Over to Colossians. First Colossians. If you go to First Colossians, let me know, and I'm going to follow you. First Chronicles. And you'll notice in 1 Chronicles, here's David, and the ark is being taken from where it was taken captive, remember, by the Philistines and that, and then put aside Shiloh and all of that. And now it's going to be taken to the tent that David built, the tent special in Jerusalem, so they could, in the cities, bring the tent into the city, bring the ark into the city. And that's what, the temple isn't built yet, but they're going to bring the ark into the city, into the tent. That's an awesome time. God's coming in. And therefore, David, what did you do? Verse 4, 16, 4. He appointed certain of the Levites to minister before the ark of the Lord and to record and to thank and praise the Lord God of Israel. Sliding down to verse 7, then, on that day, David delivered the first psalm and to thank the Lord into the hand of Asaph, his brethren, to give thanks unto the Lord, to call upon his name, to make known his deeds, to sing among the deeds among the people. And you keep reading, sliding all the way over to verse 34. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. O, and we say, save, O God of us, save us, O God of our salvation, and gather us together. Why do you want us together? Why did they gather the pilgrims on that day? Well, thanks, first thing, Brad guided, Governor Bradford gave that proclamation. Verse 35, and say, ye, save us, O God of our salvation, and gather us together, and deliver us from the heathen, that purpose we may give thanks to thy holy name and glory in thy praise. We want to be able to say thank you. Now, that's a positive thing. Not too often, but it's there. Remember the lepers and people who got healed? And there's only one of them that came back to say thank you. We do things that we never hear thank you, you see. Thank you. Now, God helps us. So now, here's David. He prepares it. God prepares a table before him in the presence of his enemies, and his cup overflows. Psalm 81 we did the other day, but look at it with your Bible this time, maybe. And in the process, Psalm 81, picking up, please, directly in the light of it all, verse 10. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. Open, that all of this is causative. God said, you cause your mouth to be open. Have you ever had little ones or other, they have to eat something or take something, and you say, open your mouth. Open your mouth. You say, open your mouth. Not going to open my mouth. Say, not going to open it. God says, open your mouth. Cause you, me, us, open your own mouth. I don't open your mouth. You open your mouth. That's how we get our food in, as we shared the other night. That's how the food gets in. All that good food gets in. And gets in. Why? Because we had to open our mouth and let it go down into our system. And we're believing, and as we're eating, food goes in, and our digestive system assimilate and all that. All of that takes care of itself. But we're assimilating. When we believe, we're going to look to God. And when we look to God's word, here we are trying to understand God's word and understand Thanksgiving a little better. And when we do that, and if I let it sink into me and I believe it, just like my food is digested by the word, the words that I'm reading, I'm digesting them. I'm believing them. And as long as I keep believing them, it's going to keep working in my heart. And it's going to stay with me. I'm believing. That's how it grows. I digest it. Digest thy word, you see. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. And the word fill is intensive. God said, I'm busy. And I'm busy, busy, busy what? I want you to grow. I want you to have the nourishment. I've given you the manna, as it were. I want you to eat, and I'm going to help you learn to eat. Because I'm going to what? Take care of whether you have a full cup, a half a cup, you'll be satisfied. That's what I want. But you've got to open your mouth to eat food, to live physically. You've got to open your heart and receive, remember, grace, John 1:16, grace upon grace. God gives, it isn't grace. You don't get a barrel of grace, enough grace to last you 3 months, okay? It's every day, grace, every day, walk by faith, each step, each day, grace upon grace. Yesterday's grace is wonderful, tomorrow's is a whole nother thing. Day by day, manna, day by day. Therefore, and God's is intensive, God's busy trying to make this work, intensive. Verse, and they didn't want to do it, remember, in verse 11. But my people would not hearken to my voice, and Israel would have none of me. They just didn't want it. So you say, people aren't like, well, yes, they are. You won't have to go far. Well, but before the end of the week, you'll meet them. You'll look to do that. They aren't going to be thankful. They don't even think of thanking God. Who thinks of that? You know. For what? What did God do for me? Count your blessings, name them one by one. What did God ever do for me? You ever hear that? No. So therefore, I gave them up, verse 12, to their own heart's lust, and they walked in their own counsels. Oh, that my people had hearkened unto me, and Israel had walked in my ways. I would have subdued their enemies. Verse 16, he should have fed them. He should have fed them. Intensive. He would have done it. He should have fed them with the finest of wheat, not just cheap wheat, the very best, and honey out of the rock, extra luxury, peanut butter with jelly, etc. Now, honey out of the rock, should I have satisfied thee? I would have caused you to be satisfied. That's what we read. If they ate properly in 40 years in the wilderness, they never would have been hungry. They would have always been satisfied for 40 years. That's pretty good. Day every day, 40 days, 40 years, 40, all the days, you would have been satisfied. Because you're trusting God. See the word satisfied. Now, so we're eating, open our mouth, we eat the food. We want to eat the food and open our mouth wide and God will fill it. And God said, when you're opening your mouth wide, I'll fill it and you will be satisfied. You'll be satisfied. Finest of wheat, honey out of the rock. Satisfied. Okay, go from there. So therefore, over if I can, you know, over in Colossians, and in Colossians chapter 2, picking up, if I may, and you will notice in verse 6, Colossians 2, 6, as you have therefore, remember John 1, 12, as many as received him, as you have therefore received, there's your verb, Christ Jesus, the Lord, as you got saved, that's how you stay enjoying being saved. You keep opening your mouth and keep getting fed. Rooted and built up in him, established in the faith, the body of truth to be believed, as you have been taught, abounding therein with, what? Thanksgiving. You receive. You keep receiving. Grace upon grace upon grace. From where? Verse 9. For in him, in Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, God's awesome, wonderful presence in the person of Jesus Christ. God is fullness. When you received him as your Savior, he came into the, he received you, and you received him, like opening your mouth, you received him as your Savior. When you did, verse 10, you are complete, the word complete, the word full. You are full, you are complete, full. In him, which is the head over all principality and powers. So when you received the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the bread of life, when I received the bread of life, when does the bread run out? It never runs out, because it wears, who is the bread? Like the table of showbread in the tabernacle. The bread is our Lord Jesus Christ. God in you, in Christ, is what? Going to be what? He's full of grace. Full of grace. Full of everything. And able to go and keep you what? Full. So you can stay full. And you can stay full. So whether we eat a lot or a little, God said, we did all that in the light of the Old Testament, you'll be satisfied. You'll be satisfied. That's what you'll be. You'll always have enough. It doesn't matter whether you have an empty plate or a full plate. You'll always have enough. It'll always be enough. So that's how you're going to go down the corridor of time, always having enough. Now, having said that, in the light of God's wonderful, wonderful fullness, and picking up that in 9, over I can, over to Ephesians, not far away, Ephesians chapter 5. And we're looking for the Spirit of God to take care of us. That's his ministry. And in Ephesians and chapter 5, picking up, please, in verse 18. And in be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit of God. Remember what we just read? Filled, full, complete in Christ. So we already are. But we need to exercise being that we have enough. Therefore, sliding down, a wonderful thing, be not drunk with wine, speaking to ourselves in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord. In other words, you're going to be content. Verse 20, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Giving thanks always. Why? Because why? The Spirit of God is what? How full of you? God is an endless supply. If you got saved, are you able to, is God able to keep you saved? I don't know. Are you going to be saved tonight at 2 o'clock in the morning? God's doing it. So God said, I'm busy. Filling, you're going to keep receiving. The Lord Jesus Christ in us is the endless supply of everything we need. How much more, like Romans 8, how much more will he give him with us everything we need? Wow. So now, we're giving thanks to God always in all things, looking to God. Now, putting that together, over if I can to all Hebrews. Hebrews, sufficiency, enough. Hebrews, content, all those words, one word. Hebrews chapter 13, picking up, please, in verse 5. Let your conversation, your manner of life, be without covetousness, and be content. Do you see the word content? That's the word sufficient, enough, satisfied. All three words, depends the way you read it, watch. Be content with such things as you have. So everyone's different. Some filled their cup, Omar half a cup. Some overflowed it, whatever they did. Each one is different. And God is going to take care based on we're out working. What God may work with some guy over here. And person over here, and they have whatever situation, conditions. And over here are the opposite. Both are believers in this case. And God is going to take care of both of them. And they have whatever this condition, they have everything, it seems to. Over here, they don't have everything. Doesn't matter. They're trusting God. That is the whole point. God takes care day by day. That's what he does. That's why the thanksgiving always. But hey, who even knows God takes care of us, right? No. When's the last time God took care of you? How's that for a question? Well, you scratch your head. I don't know when he took care of me. I don't know when he did that. See? Who's taking care of you right now? Huh? I'm taking care of myself. Good for you. Good for you. You'd be thankful. God said, listen, if you're saved, if you aren't saved, if you're saved, God's taking care. And you have to what? Learn to be content with what you have. That's how you're going to grow. You can't have what you haven't, you aren't ready for yet. You can't have the benefits of fourth grade and the 10th grade. How's that? You have to take what you have and work with what you got, and that's what God is going to do. So you don't worry about it. Now, having said that, content, satisfied, enough. Therefore, go with me, please, over. In the light of that, time's gone. Over to Philippians. God's going to take care of us all the way. So Philippians chapter 4. And what are you going to do, God? Well, Paul had everything, and then God took it all away. And you don't hear Paul telling you about, my father's rich, I could have extra thing, I've got a great education. You don't hear that from Paul. Paul just walked with God, and God humbled him in all kinds of different ways to help him. To what? To learn what Israel should have learned in 40 years, that God takes care day by day. That's what you do. And you walk with God with thanksgiving. That's what you do. Because God's doing it. No, he isn't doing it. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. Now, so Philippians chapter 4, verse 11. Not that I speak in respect of want, said Paul. I have learned in whatever state I am, therewith to be, what's the little word, dear friend? Content, / satisfied, / enough. God is enough. God satisfies. I have learned to be satisfied, God plus nothing. God plus nothing. God plus no one. I've learned to be satisfied. Verse 12. I know both how to be abased, go down low, how to abound, have a lot. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed, both to be full and to be hungry, both to suffer need, both to abound and to suffer need. Therefore, 13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I learned. God said, be content, satisfied, enough. What you have, you can't have what you don't have yet. You just have to work with what you have. Be content, trusting God. And if you have a lot, thank God. If you have a little, thank God. What are you learning? Whether you have a lot or a little, you're learning to thank God. And understand what? It isn't how much you have. Your life is not in what you have. Your life is in your unique relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's where your life is. It isn't in anything you eat, or anything you do, or anything you have, or anywhere you go. It isn't anything about that. It's about me, said God. Be thankful. In everything give thanks, 1 Thessalonians. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. Wow. To be able to say thank you. And thank you. And sometimes that's all I say. Just thank you. Enough. So that we can what? Have a happy Thanksgiving without a turkey. Mm-hmm. Without a chicken. Without a pigeon. Because it won't make any difference. It's just trusting God. And we're already ahead of the game. And we haven't even enjoyed yet tomorrow, to whatever measure that is.